Welcome to episode 18 of the Tech Surge podcast. I'm your host, Guillermo Ortiz, and we've got a few bits of news in this episode I would like to run through. But before we do that, I would like to give out my condolences to all the families of the victims of the Christchurch mosque mass shooting. Heard about it yesterday, and really tragic event that happened. And just want to say, I'm extremely sorry for it, and condolences to all the families, and rest in peace all the victims of that horrible event. All right, so let's get on with the normal, regular show. First of all, I want to start with a review of a current pair of earbuds that I got, of true wireless earbuds, the Jaybird Runs. I picked these up off a friend, secondhand, for 200 yuan, so I think I got quite a steal. I picked them up for $30. 200 yuan, you know, for this pair, I think it's a good price, for what they offer. They're one of the, in my opinion, one of the best true wireless earbuds, and they're not extremely expensive. I think parting price was $180, so for me to get them for $30, now, a year later, I would imagine they'd go around $80 or $70, maybe $100 on eBay or Amazon. So for me to get them for $30, they're in pristine condition, no scratches or anything. The sound quality, you know, there's no problems with the earbuds. I think it's quite a steal. So I want to sort of run through a quick review of them. I mean, I've only used them for 2 days. That was enough to sort of give me an idea of what they are like, in terms of, sound quality, sport, battery, all that stuff. So I'm going to go through, sorry if you hear any noise in the background, it's just a very loud place over here. But let's start off with the battery life. So I'm getting around 5 hours. They say 4 hours, that's what they give you of playback time. Getting around five, the case does charge them up for, I think, another charge. But the thing is, I use them for a bit, and then I put them back in the case the rest of the time. So I'm getting quite decent amount of playback time on them. I listen to mainly podcasts, whole-length podcasts, and maybe a few songs here and there. And I think the battery life is kind of good. I'd had to charge them once over the past 2 days. Design-wise, they look really nice. They are plastic. They're high quality plastic, and they just look great. They have this really sort of understated look, where it's this sort of chrome, faux chrome ring with the Jaybird logo in the middle in chrome, and then the black around that. And they don't look big on your ears. They look really small and understated, which I like. I know a few other sort of wireless earbuds look really big. Bose SoundSport Freeze. Even Apple AirPods look pretty silly, in my opinion. Looks like you have tampons coming out of your ears or something like that. So, you know, these look nice on your ears. They're really understated. They're small. So that's nice. The actual case itself, I'm a little bit disappointed. I mean, I like the shape. I like the compactness. I think it's pretty compact. I mean, it's not the smallest case around, but, you know, you can definitely put it in your pocket and you won't have any problems with it. I like the motion of opening it. But there is one slight issue I have with it, is it tends to fall back a bit. It's got quite a small surface area on the bottom where it stands straight. And if you tip it even a little bit, it'll fall back and roll around. So it rolls around quite a bit. It's just a little small niggle, I suppose, but it's something to consider. And also it's made of this sort of low quality plastic material on the outside and on the inside. It's really sort of jarring, and it creaks a bit once you, maybe you can hear that, creaks a bit when you press on it. which is, you know, again, kind of jarring. It's got the Jaybird logo on top, but I overall, you know, I think the case is just there for to charge your earbuds. There is one thing I like about it. Essentially, when you take them out, they turn on automatically, and they pair automatically, and no, not pair, they connect to your phone. Your phone's Bluetooth automatically, and then once you put them back in, they automatically turn off, which is really convenient. Convenient. I mean, you just want to, you know, pop them in for 20 minutes, listen to something, and then, you know, pop them back in their case again. So that's nice. The actual pairing process itself for the first time is kind of annoying. It took me quite a while to pair them with my phone, and then actually on the app I had quite a lot of issues getting them to recognize the Jaybird runs on their own Jaybird app. But once I, you know, used them for a bit with the phone, I went on the app with them connected to the phone, and magically the app recognized them, which is nice. And that leads me on to sound quality. So they're a very loud pair of earphones. They're very clear, but there is one feature about them which is kind of annoying. Once you go to high volumes on music especially, it tends to distort quite a bit. I mean, they're okay for your daily use, and I don't really listen to things at such high volumes, but just take that into consideration that it does get pretty distorted. The mids are a tiny bit muddy, but one thing that helps, I mean, overall, it's pretty, you know, balanced audio profile. In the app, there is an equalizer where you can tune, you know, the mids, the highs, the lows, and the bass, all that stuff, using an app, an equalizer in-app, which works fairly well. I've got it on bassy, and the bass, you know, you can definitely hear the increase in bass. It's not too jarring. I'm a fan of that. Something that Jaybird really implemented well. Their app is really nice. Nicely designed and everything, and it shows you the battery life of each earbud separately. It is a master and a slave sort of configuration, using Bluetooth 4.1 and a 2.4 gigahertz connection between the master and the slave. So that's how it works. I mean, that does mean that you do get some, you know, video lag, which is a tiny bit annoying. You know, you can't really go watch YouTube videos with this or any sort of video playback with this, because you will get like a half a second delay, maybe to 1 second delay. It's definitely annoying, and that's why I just wouldn't watch any video with it. I would get your nice pair of headphones. I mean, I've got a Bose QC35 pair, which I use for, you know, heavy duty stuff on planes and whatnot. And I've got just the speakers, but I wouldn't use this for video playback. Now, in terms of fit, I've had a fair problems with earbuds fitting me in the past. I think it's just that I have weird ears, I guess. But fit was kind of annoying in the beginning. You know, there's different fins and different tips that they give you in order to make them fit. And once I put in the medium tips, they, you know, they stayed in pretty well. But I did have problems just running, and, you know, they just would fall out. One earbud would fall out, especially the right one, which is tend to fall out. Shows how your ears are not exactly the same, I guess. But yeah, I mean, once, you know, walking normally, just sitting down, that's totally fine. Even on the small fins, they give you fins that attach to a part of your ear, so stuff doesn't fall. The medium ones were, you know, they worked well for that purpose, but the small ones were a little bit on the small side, so they would tend to fall out more. But I just be careful a little bit. I wouldn't sprint with these unless, you know, they fit you perfectly. I mean, everyone's ears is different. Mine just didn't really fit well for me. But yeah, that's your own decision, I suppose. For sport, I did go to the gym with them quite a bit. And they're completely fine. They're sweatproof and water resistant. Even though they don't have an official rating, I suppose they didn't pay for it. But they're completely fine to be sweat. I sweat a lot, so they were drenched by about an hour of gym. So yeah, they can survive that. And whilst in the gym, everything just worked fine. You do push-ups with them, you can do ab curls, they won't fall, especially on the medium fins in my case. I did rowing, I did some bike. Again, sprinting and jogging, I didn't really dare to do. I mean, you can do jogging, but I didn't dare sort of keep a pace and go fast because I was afraid they were going to fall. Again, you know, the fit could be a bit better, but overall, it's okay. And in conclusion, you know, they're a nice pair of headphones, especially for like this. I can't really complain about anything with the price that they gave me, that I was given it at, which is $30. I mean, they're a really good pair of wireless earbuds. I would recommend them to anyone who just likes simple, low-profile pair of earbud, wireless, true wireless earbuds. But, you know, they don't have the best of anything, but they're pretty good at everything. I would say the only thing that sort of lets them down is the case. It's, again, the case is just kind of jarring, really low plastic sort of stuff. I've seen other cases, especially with the BoPlay E8s or E7s, and I've seen, you know, the Bose SoundSport Freeze case, and you know, they're a little bit better, even the AirPods. but it's got good sound quality for the price. It's good for sport. They are called the Jaybird Runs, but ironically, running with them can be a bit of a pain for me. And yeah, that's about it for this sort of quick overview. I might give a more long-term review later on of them, but I'll leave the link if you want to pick them up for like the usual price or more to the usual price, because obviously I've gone a bargain basement price. But let's just move on with the rest of the news, I suppose. Got a couple of stories, but that was mainly the thing that I wanted to focus on with those Jaybirds, Jaybird Runs. But there are a few stories in particular. One really nice one, I guess. I don't know how nice this is, but if you guys know the Poco F1, it's a phone that released last year with the Snapdragon 845 at bargain basement price. You know, it had Xiaomi's own system on top, and it's a Xiaomi sub-brand, it's Poco. Pretty popular phone in Asia and Europe as well. Deemed the flagship killer of 2018, I think it was about $300. Well, there appears to be a light version of the Poco F1 with the Snapdragon 660 and 4 gigs of RAM, which is interesting. So it was spotted on Geekbench, where you do the benchmarking and all that stuff. And March 14th is the official release date, so we're very close to that. We're currently, actually, we're 2 days away from that, and nothing has been released, as far as I know, for it. Maybe they've, you know, pulled it back, but it was seen on Geekbench. It runs MIUI 10, a Snapdragon 660, and it does have the wide vinyl one support for 4K for Netflix watching. I think on the F1, there was normal F1, there was a problem with watching Netflix at high quality. I think you can only watch it at 480p or 720p. Well, now with this, you know, with the wide vinyl one support, you can watch it at full 1080p and above, I suppose. But yeah, they don't really know that much about it. It's going to come with the February security patch and Snapdragon 660, MIUI 10, Android 9 Pi. It's just the Poco F1 Lite, really. We don't know exactly when it's going to come out. March 14th was 2 days ago, so might come out later. It might be, you know, delayed for some reason, but that's pretty much all we know about it. Yeah. And the P30 Pro rumors keep coming through. We have official renders. I mean, I'm pretty sure I talked about this before. In fact, I know I talked about this before. But just to run you through, we're very close to it right now. It's 10 days away from the P30 and P30 Pro. It's kind of confirmed already. They're both going to have in-display fingerprint scanners, because there's nothing on the P30 that suggests that there isn't one. There's no fingerprint scanner on the back, no side-mounted fingerprint scanner. They're going to have OLED displays, both of them, which is going to be very nice. And the P30 Pro is going to have a 40-megapixel f/1.6 camera, and then three more lenses. I think it's going to be a quadruple lens. There is rumors of that. With the normal P30 being just a triple lens, the P30 is going to have a flat OLED, supposedly a slightly lower resolution. I think they might go for a 1080p resolution OLED flat on the P30, and as we can see by the renders, they're definitely going to go for a curved, probably higher resolution 2K OLED on the P30 Pro. The P30 phones, very excited about them. I mean, they're definitely a potential flagship for me. It's also being tipped that the P30 Pro might come with 5G connectivity as well, just to be future-proof. We've seen a couple of phones come out with 5G but most of them have been pretty high-end, apart from a few, the Mix 3 5G, and the Samsung Galaxy S10 5G, but that one's very expensive. But
I'm excited about the Mix 3 5G whenever it comes.
I think I talked about this last time, but I would really like a 5G phone in the summer, sort of as a flagship.
I don't know the availability of the Mix 3 5G in terms of carrier support and whatnot, but
yeah, the P30 Pro is also tipped to be a 5G phone. Of course, it's going to be running the Kirin 980, but there is an asterisk on that. The P30 Pro might have the 990, which is Kirin's or Huawei's new chipset, I suppose. Of course, 980 was on the Mate 20 Pro, the Mate 20, the Mate 20X, and the V20 from Honor, as well as the Magic 2. So, could we see the 990 already? I mean, the 855 definitely beats the 980 in benchmarks, but that's just the cycle, I suppose, in the mobile world. Could be seeing the 990 on the P30 Pro at least, perhaps, with 5G, which would cost quite a bit. I'd say that the P30 might cost around $600, with the P30 Pro around $800 or $900. If we have all those features, then it might cost a bit less. But essentially, that's the news, and there's actually one more story about Android Q, which just came out. The beta
just came out
a few days ago for the Pixel phones, and one bit of good news is that
Pixel 1, the 2016 Pixel 1,
has the beta for Android Q, which is absolutely amazing, and I believe the prices on eBay might have just gone up quite a bit for the Pixel 1. I might pick one up myself on Taobao, if this is true, if it does have the beta, and you know, they've extended that third year of support to the Pixel 1. But early impressions, not much has changed. It looks more like an Android 9.1 than a 10. Again, the beta program is out, and you know, there's a few features that have been pointed out. There's a QR code feature where you can share your Wi-Fi via QR code directly in the Wi-Fi settings, which is nice, but I think it's more like little touches than anything. You can undo app removal, which is, again, kind of nice, but I mean, who deletes an app if they don't want to delete an app? I guess from your home screen is fine. You can undo it and put it right back in. Again, small touches. There's location control. So this hints at more app permissions. You know, app permission controls and streamlining that quite a bit. You know, knowing exactly what apps are doing. And you'll get the option of only sort of allowing that the app to access the device's location when you're using the app. So, for example, a weather app could be good for that. And, you know, it's nice to have these privacy features. But, again, it's just small settings, but it does look like Google are focused on privacy. There is a dedicated privacy section in the settings app, and you can have there's a lot of options in there with, you know, calendar, location, camera, contacts, mic. And it just looks better now. It looks like Pi, essentially, but with a few added features like the privacy tab. There's some better notification controls. You can do more with your notifications. That's something that I'm going to look forward to if I get Q, I guess. You know, if you constantly keep dismissing a screenshot, the example here is, if you constantly dismiss a screenshot, you're probably going to want it dismissed automatically, so it automatically do that. Or you can show silently, you can keep alerting, you can block notifications. So just more control than we already have of that. And that's pretty much it for this episode. We're nearly at the 20-minute mark. I think it's a good time to just stop it here. I'll leave my email in the description. I'll leave all these links in the description. Thank you very much for listening to episode 18 of the Tech Search Podcast, and I'll catch you next time.